I'm Andrew Green, and this is the Thursday edition of Flick Pick, the edition of the podcast where Jacob Holmes and I talk about the new films playing any given week at the cinema. Jacob, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, you know, this week is definitely a very January week, I think, when we look at the new films opening up.
Right. It's just two new releases, no awards expansions, although we might be getting some of those now that the Oscar nominations have come out. Like in the near future, not this weekend though. This weekend is just two brand new 2020 only movies, and very different ends of the spectrum. We've got one family movie starring Robert Downey Jr. And a long-awaited sequel to a Will Smith movie.
Well, we could start with the sequel, I guess. Do you think that's the bigger of the two?
I think so. I think that's definitely going to... If there's anything to win the box office, I think this has the best shot.
So that would be Bad Boys for Life.
Bad Boys for Life, also known as Bad Boys 3, starring Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. It's, like I said, long-awaited... Or I guess if you're a fan of the Bad Boys series, long-awaited sequel to... Or the long-awaited third movie in the Bad Boys series. Last movie, Bad Boys 2, came out in 2003. So it's been 17 years.
Wow, it's been 17 years. Geez, that means it's been 17 years since my radio career began.
Oh, wow. Anyway. I was in elementary school.
All right. Well.
And thus way too young to see the Bad Boys movie, so I've not seen either of them.
Well, it's all right because I've never seen either of them.
Well, it's notable. The first two movies are notable because they were directed, not only were they, you know, big Will Smith vehicles, and Martin Lawrence was pretty big at the time, too. But they were both the first and second movies were directed by Michael Bay.
That's right, and I was just wondering, this one's not directed by Michael Bay.
It's not directed by Michael Bay. I don't even know if he had any involvement or if he was just like a producer or something.
I could look that up, but do we know what the premise of this is? I mean,
the premise is Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. They're their characters from the previous movies. They're cops in Miami, and they are. And in this movie, they're older. They're about ready to retire, but it's like I think a relative of one of the bad guys from one of the previous movies comes back and wants to get revenge on them.
Maybe it'll be like the son of one of the previous bad guys or something.
I think it's like the brother or something. It's very reminiscent of like Die Hard with a Vengeance, where Jeremy Irons was Hans Gruber's brother. Or like one of the Fast and Furious movies, Jason Statham was like the brother of Luke Evans from who was a villain in one of those movies.
Now, I have gotten the trailer for this new Bad Boys film a bunch of times.
I've gotten it a couple times, too.
It looks like it's sort of also sort of a comedy in addition to an action
film. Oh, yeah,
the
original movies were comedies as well. They were pretty much like very... It was more hardcore. It was like a more hardcore Lethal Weapon was the kind of vibe that the original movies gave off.
Right.
Actually got kind of a lot of criticism. The first two movies got a lot of criticism for being a little too similar to... you know, genre buddy cop movies, especially Lethal Weapon.
Well, if you're going to rip something off, Lethal Weapon is a...
It's not bad.
It's not a bad choice.
And the Bad Boys movie certainly got their fans because people love Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, again, at the time.
Right. And especially Will Smith, I think. I don't know when the last time I saw Martin Lawrence in anything was.
I couldn't tell you, but he was very big back in 95 when the first movie came out. He was actually billed above Will Smith.
Oh, was he?
Well, because Will Smith wasn't an established movie actor yet. He was still just known for The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. In fact, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was still airing when the first movie came out.
Wow, you remember this. Well, you don't remember
this. I looked it up.
You know more about this than I do, and I don't remember any of it. I do remember Martin Lawrence had a show as well on Fox, simply called Martin. So he was big there for a few years. And
so
then
that's why the first Bad Boys was kind of a big deal, was, you know, pairing up those two actors. And then he got a relative. I mean, Bad Boys 1 was one of Michael Bay's earlier big Hollywood productions.
That it was. By the way, looking at the Wikipedia for this film, I do not see Michael Bay's name attached anywhere.
Wow, I'm surprised he wasn't even on as an executive producer.
I see Jerry Bruckheimer as a producer.
Well, yeah, I think he was. I think his production company did the other movies.
Right,
did a lot of collaborations with Mr. Bay.
Right, and if you look at the IMDb page for Bad Boys for Life, the description simply says, the Bad Boys are back together for one last ride in the highly anticipated Bad Boys for Life.
I don't know if it was highly anticipated, but...
Yeah, well, you know, they're back, they're doing their thing again. Is there reception yet for this film?
Yeah, the reviews are actually a lot better than you would think for a long gestating sequel to a series that wasn't very critically well received to begin with. Add it being a January release on top of that, and it's actually not getting bad reviews. People are saying it actually is okay.
Well, I'm surprised, and
I know I was a little surprised by that as well. I think looking at Rotten Tomatoes, it's currently sitting at like in the mid 70s.
That's pretty good.
That's especially compared to the other movies.
Right. So, already before we move on to the next film, I think it's safe to say Bad Boys for Life is the better of the two new options, most likely this week.
I would take a venture to say so. It's got wide appeal. I mean, if you're a fan of the series, you'll probably want to go see this movie. If you're a fan of Will Smith, you've probably already seen the other movies anyway. So he's been on a roll lately.
He has been. He's been in a lot.
First, it was like, and in just recent memory, there was Gemini Man, which was a big bomb, but it was still something. There was Aladdin.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Gemini Man. Then Spies in Disguise, which wasn't meant to be like a big succession of Will Smith movies within a year, because again, Spies in Disguise was like had a lot, its release date moved a whole bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's this movie. So there's actually two Will Smith movies in the theaters right now. Spies in Disguise is still playing, and now this.
There you go. Well, you can get your Will Smith fix if you're looking for one. So that's Bad Boys for Life, which is now playing, which will be opening up this weekend anyway, at Celebration Cinema in Benton Harbor. The other new film does not look so promising. It's Doolittle.
Oh, Doolittle. Oh, boy. Move over, cats. That's what I'm seeing from the reception of this movie.
It's that bad?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So Doolittle is it's a new version. I don't want to say reboot or remake. It's a new adaptation of the Dr. Doolittle character.
Right.
Because they were like a series of books in the 20s about this, you know, eccentric veterinarian and doctor who could talk to animals.
Mm-hmm.
It was made into a musical film with Rex Harrison in the 60s. Then what probably you and I generation knows most of, the movies with Eddie Murphy.
Right. How many of those were there?
There were two with Eddie Murphy, and then they made like two direct to DVD ones where the character was like his daughter, but Eddie Murphy wasn't in them.
Okay.
So yeah. And now there's this start with, which is a little more faithful, at least in, I guess, time period or yeah, I'm going to say time period. I don't want to say tone. Time period to the original stories takes place in, like the 1800s. And the title character, Dr. Doolittle, is played by Robert Downey Jr.
Hmm. Well, you know, it's funny. When I first saw the trailer for this or any kind of promotional materials, it seems like it came out of nowhere. And it seems very strange to me that of all things for Robert Downey Jr. to be starring in, it's a new Doolittle. Doesn't that strike you as just kind of a bit odd?
I don't know. Honestly, though, with how much money he's made in the last decade alone, he can probably do whatever he wants. He probably doesn't have to work again for the rest of his life.
Probably
not. So
he
can afford to be in a big stinker like this.
But on that same note, if he doesn't have to work ever again, why would he pick this?
Yeah. Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because this is another one of those movies that the studio was like, yeah, let's do this. Let's make a new adaptation of Dr. Doolittle, and it just had a whole host of production problems. This movie, I think they started shooting it like 2 years ago, and it was under a different title. I think it was just taken from the book, The Voyages of Dr. Doolittle. It had a lot of production problems. Test screenings went really, really bad. So they spent like a month reshooting it. They sunk $175 million into this movie.
That is not going to pay off.
No, it's not. I looked at the tracking for the weekend, and it's expected to make only like $20 million.
You know, I'm just baffled by studios that repeatedly will spend $150, $200 million on films that obviously aren't going to do that well, you know?
Well, they probably thought it was going to do better. It has release dates shifted a bunch of times, too. Like, this was going to be like a summer 2019 release, but then they like moved it around to avoid competition, and it ended up in January because I think they were going to put it out a little earlier, but they didn't want it to compete with Star Wars. See what happened to Cats there. But that's so Robert Downey Jr. is not the only person in this movie. Obviously, he's got to have animals to talk to.
Okay.
And this is where like the big all-star cast comes in. We've got, oh geez, where do I even begin? Tom Holland is in this, you know, reunite with Robert Downey Jr. from the Marvel movies.
Okay.
John Cena is in this.
All right.
Antonio Banderas, Michael Sheen, Jim Broadbent.
Rami Malek is in
it. Yeah, Rami Malek. Octavia Spencer's in this.
Emma Thompson.
Yeah, Emma Thompson.
Kumail Nanjiani. Octavia Spencer. Craig Robinson. The list just doesn't end.
Yeah, it's pretty astounding.
Ralph Fiennes, Selena Gomez. Wow. And they're all voicing animals, or at least most of them?
Yeah, I think actually Antonio Banderas is a human character.
Okay. All right, well, you know, it's Doolittle, you know. Do you think the kids might at least enjoy this film?
I'm seeing a lot of... So first off, this movie's getting absolutely trashed by critics because they're like, yeah, it's obvious this movie had a lot of production troubles. One interesting review I saw was focused on, like, the editing of the movie.
Okay.
How, like, characters, like, from shot to shot, like, from, you know, how there's one shot of a scene, it'll do, like, another cut to, like, say one person's talking to another person, and the camera will, like, go, the shot will go back and forth mm-hmm. to focus on who's talking. It's, like, between shots, like from shot to shot, characters will just appear in random places and you don't see how they got there.
That might be kind of fun to watch now that I think about it.
And on top of that, the humor doesn't land. The effects are pretty shoddy. Robert Downey Jr. makes some weird choices with the character. He speaks in like a Welsh accent, and a lot of people are comparing it to like Johnny Depp in Pirates of the Caribbean in terms of like how eccentric the performance is.
That's the first thing that popped into my head when you said he did some odd things with the character. I just thought, Johnny Depp, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, well, in that regard, it paid off at first.
Right.
People loved it in the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
Then we just got sick of it. But, yeah, critics are saying that does not play well for this movie. I have heard about... There's a dragon in this.
There's a dragon.
Yeah, there's a dragon. And apparently, I've heard... There's been much talk online recently about the climax of the movie involves this dragon and Doolittle having to perform some kind of procedure on him, and that's the climax of the movie. It's like, well, if that's your idea of fun, have at it.
All right, this is for you, kids. Now, the IMDb description of this film simply says a physician discovers that he can talk to animals. So. It doesn't sound like there's a whole lot.
There is a plot. I think so from what I've been able to gather from synopses from the studio.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Universal made this. They also made Cats.
I feel
so bad for them right now. It's only been 3 weeks since Cats came out. It's already gone from our theater.
Right.
Yet I'm still hearing people talk about it, like how like apparently there are like rowdy screenings of the Alamo Draft Houses, like special screenings of that.
Great.
It's like, move over, Cats, because this is the new big budget, high profile disaster piece.
Well, here's another misfire from Universal. So
you just got to feel bad for them.
They spent around $100 million on Cats, and how much on Doolittle, you said?
Almost $200 million, because that's not even counting the cost to market it.
Right, right.
Either movie, for that matter. But yeah, so the plot of this version is that... you know, prior to the events, like Doolittle's wife like died and he like shut himself in and only like kept like the animals to keep him company. And that's how he discovered he could communicate with them. But then he's like called back into service because Queen Victoria is like deathly ill and he knows how to find the cures. And it's like on this mysterious island. I'm sure it involves the dragon at some point.
Okay. So, you know, he discovers he can talk to animals. You know what? An interesting way to end it would be to have him realize he's been insane the entire time. And he cannot...
That would be quite a twist.
He cannot, in fact, talk to these animals.
That would be quite a departure from the source material, although the Eddie Murphy movies were already quite a departure from the source material.
That's true. All right, well, it's Doolittle. It opens this week. It'll be playing. It's, your family...
See it while you can. This might be the latest in and out in a few weeks.
All right. Well, those are our two new options here at Celebration Cinema. As noted, if you have to see one of these new films, probably Bad Boys is the way to go.
Bad Boys for Life, if you're so inclined. But you might want to check out some of the Oscar movies that are still playing around here.
Indeed. Speaking of which, we can look at what else is playing here at Celebration Cinema in Benton Harbor this weekend. 1917 is playing.
Yeah, and you saw this one.
I saw it this past weekend. It was very good, very impressive. It's definitely a film that you watch for the technique, for the cinematography and what they were able to accomplish there on a technical level.
Does it really feel like it's all in one shot?
Not necessarily. I don't even know if they're necessarily trying to make the movie feel like it's just one shot, because there is one point where the action kind of stops and then we move ahead a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe a couple hours. And there are obvious parts where they must have included a cut, like when the screen gets dark for some reason, something like that. It is a suspenseful movie. There are a couple of jump scares in 1917 are better jump scares
than in most horror movies, probably in The Grudge that's out right now.
Exactly. There was one jump scare that really got me.
Wow.
I almost spilled my popcorn.
oh, wow.
And, as a World War I fanatic myself, it was interesting for me to go and see a film of this caliber taking place.
It's not recounting like any specific battle, but you could probably still appreciate like the attention to detail of it. Right
And there is a little sort of graphic at the beginning or end of the film where it mentions the film is dedicated to the grandfather of Sam Mendes, the director, who shared some World War I stories apparently with the young Sam Mendes,
and that's what he based this movie off of.
Right. So in the film, we have two main characters, and they're supposed to go and stop this disastrous assault from taking place. What's happened is it takes place in 1917. That's about the time that the Germans engaged in several strategic withdrawals from the front lines. They moved their troops back like 25 miles to put them in better positions. So from the British perspective and maybe from the French perspective, it looked to them like the Germans were on the run. So the British, this like battalion somewhere, is planning to attack the Germans, thinking they're on the run, but they're not really.
But it was the Germans were trying to trap them.
Essentially, they're walking into a trap. So our two characters have to make their way, I think, 25 miles or something.
I think they're in Belgium or maybe northern France. If the movie tells us exactly, I missed it.
Okay.
Trying to get to this area where this, group of soldiers is going to launch a disastrous attack. And part of the reason they're sent is to, save the brother of one of them. The main character of the film is not the... I should pull this up on the IMDb, actually, just to find out the actors' names. Do you recall what they were?
No, the two main characters, I believe they're relatively unknown.
They are, but one of them is more of a main character than the other, and it's not the guy who's trying to save his brother.
Oh.
It's George McKay is his name.
Okay.
And, it's an emotional film. We're on this journey with these people through a very stressful situation. And then it ends. It was a good movie. I think it deserves its Academy Award nomination for Best Picture.
All right. Well, I'm seeing it this weekend with my girlfriend and my family, so I'm very much looking forward to that.
It was it's a great film. I recommend it to one and all. My theater was packed. And
it was the number one movie.
Yeah, that's great. World War I is getting some popular culture attention. I'm pleased, even though World War I's not exactly a happy subject. But yes, I recommend 1917. It's excellent. As for the other films playing this weekend, as mentioned, Bad Boys, as mentioned, Doolittle, Frozen 2 is still going.
And there's even a sing-along showing, I noticed, for our theater. I know Disney, I've seen ads recently that Disney's putting out, they did this with the first movie too, and I think they've done this with a lot of their recent musical movies, where they put several weeks after the movie comes out to squeeze some more money out of it, mm-hmm. they put out like a sing-along version.
That could be fun for the kids.
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not?
What else did they do that for? Oh, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, they did do that.
Did they do that for Rocket Man?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Well, also playing at Celebration Cinema, we've got Frozen 2 sing-along. We've got Jumanji The Next Level still playing. Is that going as strong as last Jumanji before?
I don't think so, not long run-wise, but it's still, Sony's got to be happy with the results of it.
Sure. I'd have to consider seeing it, but...
I'm going to wait for DVD.
Well, if it wasn't Oscar season and there were a lot of awards contenders to see, I might go and check out Jumanji, but my plate's full with other things lately.
Yeah, I've got some items on my to-do list too.
Just Mercy is still playing. That's been quite well received.
Yeah, it's been quite well received and was left out of the Oscars. I know people were a little upset, among other things, that Jamie Foxx wasn't nominated for this movie for his role.
Right, he wasn't. And, you know, I've seen a fair amount of, you know, outrage on film Twitter about the Oscar nominations. We'll get to that.
Well, yeah, and I have some thoughts, too. I don't know if you do, but I have a few thoughts.
By the way, just a little tidbit. Just Mercy, you can get a ticket to it for $5 at Celebration Cinema on Martin Luther King Day, which is Monday.
Oh, nice.
Little thing they're doing at all their theaters.
There you go. If you have the day off or if you want to see a movie Monday night.
There you go. Check out Just Mercy. By all accounts, it's good.
Yeah. I might take advantage of that. I still might see this. It's got a 99% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes. That's pretty good.
It's the feel-good hit of the year, apparently. Well, maybe not feel-good. Maybe at the end.
I've heard it's apparently a very powerful movie and it's very much worth seeing.
Okay, great. Also still playing is Knives Out, one of my favorite films.
Yeah, and it got one Oscar nomination for Best Original Screenplay.
To me, that's entirely appropriate.
Yes, same here.
If anything stands out as being Oscar worthy from Knives Out, I mean, a lot of things do, but
I do wish that Ana de Armas got nominated for her performance. That would have been really cool.
It would have been.
Well,
what are you going to do? You know, hopefully Ryan Johnson, is it?
Yes.
Hopefully Ryan Johnson will win that Oscar because I feel
he I have a feeling it's going to go to Quentin Tarantino.
Maybe.
Because he got the Golden Globe for it.
He did?
Yes.
Well, a lot of people are considering him sort of a lock for director.
Oh, I didn't hear that. I would think Sam Mendes would get director.
We shall see. We'll wait till we discuss the Oscar nominations
yeah.
in a second. Also still playing is Like a Boss, the comedy. That was not well received. Right?
No, not critically well received. And I don't think it did super well at the box office either. Or maybe it was kind of like in the middle of the pack.
All right. Little Women is still playing. That's a high quality film. I recommend it.
Yeah, I recommend it too. And that was one of the... Greta Gerwig was not nominated for Best Director, even though the movie was nominated for Best Picture. And best adapted screenplay.
Did she win best screenplay for Lady Bird, or was that was Jordan Peele?
I think that was Jordan Peele.
Okay,
won best screenplay that year. Yeah, a lot of people are upset that she was not nominated for best director. I kind of agree.
Right, right. We'll get to that in a minute. Spies in Disguise is still playing. From my understanding, it's a decent film. Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker is still showing. The Grudge is still out, the super well-received Grudge movie. Yeah, I've seen that movie just get trashed. And finally, Underwater is playing, the underwater horror film with Kristen Stewart.
Yep, it's not as bad as a typical January release sounds. Apparently, it's just kind of okay.
That's what it sounds like. But, you know, there's too many Oscar films playing right now to worry about that. So if you had to recommend anything playing locally in Benton Harbor this weekend, what would you pick?
I would say go see 1917.
I agree. Go check out 1917. And
if you haven't already.
Learn a little something about the heck that was World War I. By the way, a lot of the trench stuff they showed was interesting. You know, I mean, I knew about it, but to see it depicted in a film
I hear the movie itself gets pretty brutal.
It does, and the rats are the size of cats. They're, you know, rats running around in the trenches.
Oh, gee, that's disgusting.
And they've got the dead bodies all over the place. You know, that's how actual World War I is described, just fields filled with parts of bodies and dead horses and
ugh.
Wrecked barbed wire. Yeah, they depict all that graphically, and, you know, that's good.
It's real. It doesn't shy away.
No, and it...
But it's not like...
It could educate someone on what that war was like.
It's done tastefully, right?
It's done frankly.
Frankly, okay.
So there you go. Yep. We both recommend 1917 still playing this weekend. By the way, I just noticed. I know where I'll be this Saturday. Michigan City AMC is showing Jojo Rabbit.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I'll check that
out.
Yeah,
go see that movie.
I have a gift card to AMC too. So.
There you go. Are they showing, I know the one in South Bend, I don't know if they still are, but they were showing Parasite, and that's a movie that I need to see.
Oh, that's a good question. Let me find out. I'm going to have to...
AMC does a really good job of showing the Oscar movies once the nominations are out, even if the movie like came out a while ago.
Right, right. Like such as Jojo Rabbit. That was
Jojo Rabbit, that initial release was back in October.
Was it?
Yeah.
All right.
I remember like shortly before Halloween, my buddies and I went up to Grand Rapids to see it.
All right. That's right. You did. You made a special trip down there. I'll be making a special trip in the other direction for Jojo Rabbit. I'm looking to see what else they're showing. They're showing a Joker down there.
Oh yeah, Joker's getting getting a re-release because of its Oscar buzz.
They're showing Pain and Glory. That's the one that Antonio Banderas was nominated.
Oh wow, for Best Actor, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, that's the Michigan City Theater. Anyway, talking about the Oscar nominations, which came out this week.
Yeah, so how about that Joker?
It got the most nominations, which is interesting.
11 nominations.
11 nominations. I was a bit surprised for Todd Phillips being nominated.
For director?
Right. Just because, I don't know, didn't he do like the...
Hangover trilogy and right. Some other movies that were just kind of middle of the road.
Right, and I felt like, in a way, I felt as though he was just kind of aping Martin Scorsese's...
It's so weird. Okay, so there's a three-way tie for second most nominations. The Irishman, Parasite... No, not Parasite. The Irishman... I knew this.
Marriage Story?
I don't think so. Anyway, The Irishman has 10 nominations. It is so bizarre to me that I thought Joker was a pretty fine movie, but it's definitely a Scorsese wannabe, and I find it very interesting that the Scorsese wannabe has more nominations than the actual Scorsese movie.
Right, right. I haven't seen a whole lot of complaining about Joker getting nominated necessarily, but I imagine...
I have.
Okay.
Oh, I have.
Oh, that's not surprising. Well, you know, tough. Joker got the most nominations. It's nominated for Best Picture. And, you know, we could look at the other Best Picture nominees.
Yeah, sure.
Ford versus Ferrari. That surprised me a little bit.
That surprised me, too.
The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah, I was very happy to see that.
I'm pleasantly surprised by that.
It also got nods for Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Supporting Actress, Scarlett Johansson, a double nominee because she also got nominated for Best Lead Actress for Marriage Story.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were, I think, some other technicals it got nominated for.
All right. Also nominated, as mentioned, Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, 1917.
Oh, 1917 was another one with 10 nominations.
Okay. Once upon a Time in Hollywood.
And that was the third.
And Parasite.
So, yeah, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, 1917, and The Irishman, three-way tie for second most nominations at 10 apiece.
So what do you think will win Best Picture, if you had to make a prediction?
It very well might be. I'd say it would either be between 1917 or Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, if you had to ask me.
I'm predicting Parasite, actually.
Really?
Or 1917.
Oh, you know, last week we were talking about how, you've been saying this since Roma last year.
Mm-hmm.
If an international movie gets nominated for Best Picture and it's also in the running for the Best International category, which Parasite is.
Mm-hmm, they did it again.
You're like, well, it's automatically going to win Best International.
Right, and I say it's not fair. You know, if Parasite is so good it can be nominated for Best Picture, then it should not be in the Best Foreign Picture category because it seems like it automatically will win. It's not fair to the other nominees, but... Anyway, I haven't even seen Parasite yet.
I want to, though. I really, really want to.
You said, was it playing in South Bend?
It was. I don't know if they'll continue to show it this weekend.
Oh, I wonder if it's still at the Vickers Theater.
The movie theater that we're going to go see 1917 in is also showing a new anime movie from the director of a movie that I really liked. So I want to see if I can sneak away this weekend to catch that because it's not playing up here.
Okay. All right. Looking at the other Oscar categories here, any omissions for Best Picture that stand out to you? I feel like if anything doesn't belong in the category, it's Ford versus Ferrari, and maybe I don't know what else. Maybe Knives Out could be in there.
It would have been cool to see Knives Out in there. I don't know. For the most part, I think the actual Best Picture nominees are fine.
Beautiful.
What was that?
Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
That was a surprising omission. And also, people are upset that Mariel Heller wasn't nominated for Best Director as well.
We'll get to that in a second, because there's plenty to say about that category.
Oh, the Best Director category, yeah.
Yeah. But, Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood or the other one I just mentioned, but Knives Out could
Knives
have
Out,
been
yeah.
nominated for Best Picture, but what are you going to do? Best Actor, Lead Actor, we've got Antonio Banderas, Leonardo DiCaprio, Adam Driver, Joaquin Phoenix, and Jonathan Pryce. I think it's a lock.
I think it's a lock for Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, it seems like it is, unless for some reason everyone gets tired of giving him so many awards this year, in which case I guess Adam Driver, maybe?
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad about that.
I wouldn't.
I wonder if the producers of the Oscars are worried that like Joaquin Phoenix is going to give another speech like he did at Golden Globes.
I would be hoping he'd do
that.
Yeah,
I would be hoping to see that too.
All right, so best lead actress, we've got Cynthia Erivo for Harriet, Scarlett Johansson, Marriage Story, Saoirse Ronan, Little Women, Charlize Theron, Bombshell, and Renee Zellweger for Judy.
I'm thinking it's probably going to be Renee Zellweger. She won the Golden Globe.
She seems to be just winning that category.
Now,
left and
there
right.
are, I mean, we can go back to the, we can come back to this at the, when we're done with the supporting, the, when we're done with the acting as a whole, but a lot of, it's worth mentioning that Cynthia Erivo mm-hmm. is the only person of color nominated in any of the acting categories. That
yes.
was people, I think kind of rightfully did make, raise a little stink about that.
Yes, and as far as omissions for the nominations this year, for reasons, you know, for inclusion sort of reasons, I looked at the nominations and I was just surprised that they would do that. Like, no women nominated for Best Picture.
For Best Director, and that's the second year in a row. Second year in a row that's happened.
And everybody, you know, it was pointed out last year that that shouldn't have been the case, and they did it again.
Natalie Portman's epic dig, here are the male nominees.
Yes. So, you know, by the way, Cynthia Erivo was very good in Harriet, and I thought that film was well-directed as well.
I think that was, oh no, it's also got a song nomination
does
as
it?
Well. Oh, I know my glaring omission for the Oscars in general, Rocketman.
Rocketman, there's another one. That could have been
Taron Egerton should have been nominated for Best Actor. Come on.
Exactly, and oh, Adam Sandler for Best Actor.
Yeah, that was a big omission, and now, congratulations, we're going to get the worst movie he's ever made because of that.
Right. He has threatened to make a worse film.
He took it pretty well on Twitter, though, and had a really nice exchange with Kathy Bates, who got nominated for Best Supporting Actress for Richard Jewell.
Right.
Kathy Bates played his mom in The Waterboy.
Right.
And she tweeted back at him. It was a really wholesome moment.
It was. It was classy of Sandler. But yeah, so Sandler should have been there for Best Actor. Taron Egerton should have been there for Best Actor. Who would you take out, though, you know? Maybe
Jonathan Pryce.
No, I haven't seen the two. Popes.
I know, because like exactly, like why? Because who has seen that?
And honestly, Pain and Glory. Not many people have seen. I'm imagining.
Yeah, but I mean, I like Antonio Banderas.
Sure, so do I. You know, but the thing with these nominations is though, there's only a certain number of slots. So no matter who they nominate, there are always.
I remember hearing that they could have put that they had room for one more Best Director nominee.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh well, that up.
That doesn't make it better.
Well, with the acting categories anyway, somebody's going to get left out.
Yeah.
But
it was a really good year for movies. I mean, it was, I get that it was probably a tough choice to make, but.
It was. Yeah. As for supporting actor, we got Tom Hanks for A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
I think that's the only nomination that movie got.
Unfortunately. Anthony Hopkins for The Two Popes, Al Pacino for The Irishman, Joe Pesci for The Irishman, Brad Pitt for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I think Brad Pitt is a lock.
I don't know if I'd say he's a lock. He won the Golden Globe, but I don't know. I don't count Pacino or Pesci out.
Okay.
That's what my gut's telling me.
It'd be nice to see Tom Hanks win.
Oh yeah, or Tom Hanks.
Sure. You know, once again, Anthony Hopkins for Two Popes.
Yeah.
Who has seen that?
I think it's on Netflix.
Is it?
Yeah.
You know, my sister keeps offering to tell me her Netflix password. I should actually
Yeah, you should take her up on that so you could like watch Marriage Story and I don't know, some other movies. The Two Popes.
The Two Popes. Best Supporting Actress, we've got Kathy Bates, Laura Dern, Scarlett Johansson, Florence Pugh, and Margot Robbie, and it's a lock for Laura Dern, I'm going to say. And I haven't even seen the film.
Marriage Story. Yeah, she got nominated for Marriage Story. I could see her winning that, but it'd be really awesome if Florence Pugh wins.
It would be.
Because she was really, really good in Little Women.
She was, and she was really good in Midsommar.
In Midsommar, and she was really good in Fighting With My Family. She was in that movie.
Was she?
Yeah, she was the main character.
That was her?
Yeah, that was her.
Oh, no kidding. Wow.
Did you know that she's dating Zach Braff?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, gee. People
are very uncomfortable with it.
Why? Because of the age difference?
Yes, exactly. Because of 20 years.
All right. Well, yeah, it would be nice to see Florence Pugh. She's got a very promising career.
Oh, absolutely. I very much look forward to seeing what she does next.
Now, the Best Director nominees. We've got Martin Scorsese for The Irishman, Todd Phillips for Joker, Sam Mendes for 1917, Quentin Tarantino for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Boone
Bong Joon-ho.
Bong Joon-ho for Parasite.
It'd be really awesome to see Bong Joon-ho win, but I have a feeling it'll go to Tarantino.
I think it will, too.
Oh, no. It'll go to Sam Mendes.
Oh, you think?
He won the Golden Globe. 1917 is very much a director's movie. If I were a betting man, I would say Sam Mendes.
I'd like to gamble a little, so I'm going to say Quentin.
All right.
He hasn't won before, has he?
Not for best director, no.
So there you go. I do think Parasite will take best picture. So we've obviously got many omissions from the best director category here.
Yeah, Greta Gerwig.
I think Mariel Heller.
Mariel Heller, yeah. I mean, it was pointed out that, like, once again, all the director nominees are men.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, who else? People are upset that the Jennifer Lopez and Hustlers wasn't nominated for an acting category, and people are like, maybe Hustler, the director, I think Lauren Scafaria is her name, should have been nominated as well.
You know, that would be one of my top 10 films of the year, Hustlers. It was a great film, but I was actually more impressed by Constance Wu in that film.
Yeah, some people were saying, I think Jennifer Lopez just has a lot more vocal fans.
She does.
But yeah, I did see people saying that Constance Wu should have been nominated for that movie as well.
Mm. So too bad for J-Lo there. But as for best director, you know, I don't know. I don't even know which one I consider my favorite. I guess Tarantino or Sam Mendes.
I'd like to see Sam Mendes win. Although I'm getting to see a lot more of like what Bong Joon-ho is like as a person.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like a really funny guy. So I always want to see him win twice. We can give two really funny speeches.
Okay. Well, you know, he might if
he might win three times.
Maybe.
Although I seriously doubt, again, like Roma, if it wins the international movie category, they're not going to give the big award to it as well.
So do you think there's a chance it could win Best Picture but not Best Foreign Picture?
It could go either way.
I guess that could happen, and it would prove my gripes about this wrong. All right, so we've got, now this is a category you would know a lot more about than me, animated feature.
Yeah, there's some surprises in here too. Frozen 2 wasn't nominated.
That's true. It's what we do have nominated, How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World. I Lost My Body.
Never heard of that one, but I want to check it out now.
I like the title. Klaus, Missing Link, and Toy Story 4.
A lot of people were really happy that Klaus was on there. Klaus was an animated Christmas movie. It gave like sort of an alternate take on the origin of Santa Claus. That just really took the internet by storm over the holiday season, and I never got a chance to check it out, but it does look really, really good, and I heard nothing but good things about it. It was a traditionally animated movie, too.
Oh, man.
You don't see those anywhere.
No, they don't make those very...
But that was on Netflix.
Another Netflix movie.
Yeah.
Which is another, you know, story out of the Oscar nominations, all these Netflix films.
And then Toy Story 4, I could easily see it winning, but I'm rooting for Missing Link. It won the Golden Globe. It's the underdog, and yeah, just I really hope one of the, it looks like Toy Story 4 is now the only sequel, non-original movie on there. So it'd be really cool to see an original property win the award, be a win for original filmmaking. And well, I'm saying that as somebody who really, really loved Toy Story 4.
Well, I'm going to side with you and say I'm rooting for Missing Link just because...
Or Klaus. It'd be really cool to see Klaus win.
Or Klaus. By the way, I Lost My Body is... it's described as the story of Narrowfell, a young man who's in love with Gabrielle. In another part of town, a severed hand escapes from a dissection lab...
What?
...determined to find its body again.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yes.
Did that come from another country?
It looks like it did. But I don't know what language I'm seeing. Let's see here.
I'm going to guess France.
Possibly. It can't really tell. Let me find out. Let me Google it again here. I Lost My Body. It reminds me of The Nose by Gogol. About a guy whose nose comes off of his face and runs around the city. Where is this film from? It's French.
Ah, I knew it.
All right. Well, yeah, so now I want to see I Lost My Body. Anyway. Adapted screenplay. We've got The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, and The Two Popes.
I'm happy with all of those.
Sure.
Sure.
Why not?
I love Jojo Rabbit, so it'd be cool to see that movie win. So we can get a Taika Waititi acceptance speech. Because sure. Taika Waititi's a very funny guy.
That would be interesting. I also sort of am rooting for Greta Gerwig there.
Yes, me too.
She did a strong adaptation of them.
Of story. Little Women, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, original screenplay, the more interesting of the screenplay categories. Knives Out, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Parasite.
I could see it going to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Tarantino won the Golden Globe for that. Okay. But I'm rooting for Knives Out just because.
So am I. I just thought that was such a great script. And, you know, a refreshing movie. I want to see it again. Okay, now, do we want to go through the technicals?
I don't think so. I think 1917 will win a lot of them. War movies tend to win all the sound awards. It should win Best Cinematography.
Oh, yeah.
Roger Deakins is a legend.
I agree. It wasn't nominated for Best Editing.
I know, and that's really weird, because even if there aren't that many edits in the movie, if they can hide it well, that is still a marker of really good editing.
Right. You know, I looked it up, and Birdman from a few years ago did not get nominated for editing.
That's weird.
As well, yeah.
Do they just think because there's not as much editing as possible? And there's more to editing than just cutting the movie.
I don't know. You know, who
they got to color correct it, and come on, guys.
Now, there is one thing that I'm sad about with one of the lesser categories. Best Documentary Feature. No nomination for
Linda Ronstadt.
Linda Ronstadt, The Sound of My Voice.
A lot of people are upset that the Apollo 11 documentary wasn't nominated.
I've heard about that. Yeah, but so there's the Oscars overall.
And then Maleficent, Mistress of Evil got nominated for Best Makeup and Hairstyling, and my girlfriend was very happy about that.
Okay.
That is a running joke that she really liked that movie, and I did not.
All right, so she can root for Maleficent. So, those are the Oscar nominations. I'm not outraged, really, by it. I just think
I'm not. I am disappointed in some aspects, but at the same time, it's like, I'm not surprised.
I'm kind of disappointed that they would be clueless when it comes to the Best Director thing. Like,
yeah.
All, again?
Kind of tone deaf. Some very glaring omissions in other categories. It's just so obvious, like... It hurts that Bohemian Rhapsody has a million times more accolades than Rocket Man, and Rocket Man is a far superior movie, in my opinion.
I definitely agree there, and it's, you know, I think the fact that Rocket Man came out like a few months ago.
It came out in May.
It came out all the way in May. So
most of the movies that were nominated in general came out in the last quarter of 2019. I think that's a little bit of a problem.
It is. You know.
Oh, and Lupita Nyong'o. People were so upset that Lupita Nyong'o wasn't nominated for Best Actress for Us, and she was amazing in that movie.
That's right. Yeah, Us has been forgotten.
And that came out like way back in February. No, that was a March release.
Was it? I can't exactly remember. But, you know, as far as, for example, like Adam Sandler, I was hoping he'd be nominated.
Yeah,
but,
I was hoping for that too.
But again, with only 5 slots, somebody's going to get left out. So, well, that's what happened. So when are the Oscars airing? Anyway?
February 9th.
February 9th, and that's the same day I'll sign up for my YouTube TV account.
So you can watch it.
And then cancel.
Nice. I have a TV, I have an antenna that can catch the ABC signal.
Why can't I do that then?
I have no idea. Although the house that I'm living in, or that my apartment is built in, the antenna is rather strong. I can pull in Chicago channels.
I've got to test that again. Perhaps the problem is with my TV, because the apartment building where I live, there is a cable jack coming out of the wall, and it's specifically for the antenna they've got up on the roof.
Yeah. Maybe the antenna's bad.
Well, I know it works for some of my neighbors, and I plugged into it one time, and I got a couple signals, and then when I shut off my TV, I didn't get them anymore.
That might just require some tinkering.
Yeah. Anyway. That's neither here nor there. All right. Well, you know how long we've gone?
Probably our longest yet.
44 minutes.
Wow.
So anything else you want to add for this edition of Flick Pick?
No, I think that's about it.
All right. Well, I'm Andrew Green. This has been the Thursday edition of Flick Pick. I'll be back tomorrow with a Flick Pick review of 1917.